Now, if God is part of your life, but he's not your life, you'll probably have to endure this tonight. And if you get more excited about the bills than you do the souls of men, you'll probably have to endure. But we'll be out before long, and you can do what you got to do and talk about what thrills you. But I want to challenge you tonight to something so ingrained in us that you'd almost think it's in the Bible. And I really don't want to make a mess, but Tim and I are family now. He can clean it up after he gets back. I said John chapter 8. I don't know how your evangelistic efforts are working out. Your personal evangelism, your public evangelism. I know they're certainly not flocking down the altars at our church like they were back in the 70s and 80s. But hopefully I'll give you a little bit of help tonight. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray somebody be helped tonight. I know you've helped me with this, Lord, and just, Lord, strike for me what I shouldn't say and add to me what I should say and just help us, Lord, because we sure do care about your gospel ministry. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I told you I have quizzes when I preach, so here's the big question tonight. What exactly is Jesus offering here? Is he offering heaven? Is he offering eternal life? And I don't want to be what we Italians call picayune, but he's offering the light of life. He's not offering eternal life. He's not offering the New Jerusalem. He's not offering heaven. He's offering light for this life, found only in himself as one follows him. That's what he said. Now, give me a couple caveats so you don't write me off. I'm not adding to the gospel. I'm not changing the gospel. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you take out little sound clips of this sermon, you could regard me a heretic. Don't do that. Caveat number two, maybe I'm wrong. But you know what? That's okay, because I know this crowd is noble, has the nobility of the Bereans, that you will, after receiving the word with all readiness of mind, you will search the scriptures to see if those things are so. I just want to put a grain of sand on an other side of a balance, a scriptural balance. Don't make radical decisions based on this one sermon, but search it out for yourself, ponder, and maybe make adjustments. Because I got to be honest, sometimes I look at our message, namely our gospel invitation to sinners versus Jesus' gospel invitation to sinners and the early church's invitation to sinners, and I don't see a lot of it our way. Question, class, when did Jesus ever ask, do you know where you're going when you die? In those exact words, I don't know of any. When did Jesus ever say, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven?
Mom.
Never. Not once that I know of. But if I were to ask us the same question, the ones that hold the Bible as our authority for all matters of faith and practice, about our evangelistic invite to sinners, when do we ask, do you know where you're going when you die? It'd probably be 99%.
Right.
Always. I mean, heaven is the goal, isn't it? Or is it? Going to heaven when you die is the central theme of the gospel and the early church's message, isn't it? Or is it? It seems to be ours. I brought our church's tract rack designed by one of our men, our most popular one. It's right here. It says heaven. We even got a picture of heaven on it. And it says, how good do you need to be to get there? Because that is the ultimate question. I got this one, my favorite, because fat guys don't like to carry a lot of weight around. I designed this one. And are you good enough to go to heaven? Take God's good test. I like that one. If we were to summarize 99 out of 100% of our tracks, our evangelistic courses from Evangelism Explosion to Child Evangelism Fellowship to Ray Comfort, I've taken them, I've taught them. I mean, sinners going to heaven is usually the opening line, the theme, and the closing line. My biblical question tonight is this: was locking up heaven Jesus Christ's top priority goal? Was the eternal destination of the soul the early church's goal when they were dealing with sinners? I thought about the gospel. Now, you're Bible students, you know where the gospel is. If I said, where's the gospel? You'd say 1 Corinthians chapter 15. How that Christ died for our sins and according to the scripture, was buried, rose again the third day according to the scripture. Where's heaven? See, we know what we know, and we always put heaven in there. He died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried and rose again the third day according to the scripture, by which ye are saved. Saved from what? Well, saved means from hell, doesn't it? Does it? He shall save his people from hell. Does it say that? No. It says he shall save his people from their sins. I ran heaven in the book of Acts, the early church. I mean, that's a great pattern. 22 times it shows up. One time, indirectly, Stephen looked up to heaven and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Receive my spirit. Every other time heaven shows up in the early church's history, it's where God is from, where he is, or what he created. Now, there's two ditches on every road of error, so be careful. Jesus in the early church's ministry was not void of the afterlife. Right. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, right? Yeah. Trouble is, it took him 14 chapters to get there. Where he goes into some detail of what's ahead. Go to John 14. You ever look at it close? John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And here comes the crescendo. And what's the reward? Here's the reward: that where I am, there ye may be also. If you look at that text, there's eight I's, me's, and myself. There's one mansion and there's one place. And how does it conclude? You believe in God, guess what? You're going to be able to be with me forever. Try that with the guys at work next time. Maybe that's why we'd rather say, you know where you're going when you die? Try that with your college professor and say, don't you want to be with Jesus for all eternity? There's only one way to get there. John chapter 1. My guess and my experience is that it's probably the most recommended book of the Bible evangelistically to sinners. I mean, if someone says, where do I start? They're looking for God, maybe. So for evangelistic purposes, John is probably the book that God knew that we would use. Truth is, most probably start and never finish. So God may have one shot to offer heaven and avoid hell to the eternal soul reading really this most popular book of the New Testament. I mean, if I had it, right off the bat, heaven or hell, which for you? But he doesn't do that. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Light shineth in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. He came to his own received his not. And then he gets to the part that we like. But as many as received him, what? They get to go to heaven? That's not what he said. To them gave he power to become what? Try that at work. Don't you want to be a child of God? No, it's easier to say, you don't want to go to that bad place, do you? After almost 100 verses in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, he mentions the kingdom of God. Now, if a guy came to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then later he says, oh, by the way, this kingdom of God, it doesn't come with observation. It's in you. In you. Yeah, it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What? Where's heaven for Nicodemus? You know what Nicodemus's problem is, and your co-worker's problem is, and your unsaved son or daughter, professor, family member? You got the wrong birth. You're incomplete. You're in darkness. You know why this world is lost? It's a bad birth. You know what Jesus brings? He brings righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And he hasn't even talked about heaven yet. I'm afraid we put too much on what Jesus offers at the end when he's offered so much right now. Right. And that's not a prosperity gospel. That's the truth. Right. I come that you might have life. Later? No. Now. And life more abundantly. Amen. That's not prosperity. That's light for living. Let's look at the whole book of Acts. No, we won't. Acts chapter 2. You know they were endued with power from on high. God gave them ability to speak in all these different people's languages. They didn't know what was going on. Verse 12, a question was asked, what meaneth this? And verse 19, he says, and I will show wonders. And he said, this is that which was spoken by that prophet back there. Okay. Verse 19, I'll show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. He's talking about the end time judgment. Where's heaven? Right. I mean, if somebody said, what is this all about? This was my opening line. I saw a guy from Brooklyn preach it one time. Man, he was shaking Beale Street. When you die, it's the beginning of eternity. When you stand before God, what will you do with your seed? I use that ever since, but I don't see it there. Judgment's coming.
Come on.
Look at verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. From what? And I understand, well, yeah, but hell is the judgment of God. Yeah, but what about the heaven part? What about the pray this prayer part? I see judgment. I see saved from this judgment, but where's heaven? Acts 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Here's the gospel. He's delivered. Ye have taken by wicked hands, crucified and slain. There's the death. Raised up. There's the resurrection. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Go to verse 38, famous Church of God. Verse, then Peter said to him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll know for sure you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven. What's he say? And you receive what you need right now, the light of life, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Try that one at the university. Ain't you lonely walking around without God in you? Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from hell! Well, he said, man, don't you want to get out of this untoward generation? I ran hell in the book of Acts. And listen, I'm a street preacher. I'm Italian. We like frying people like cheap bacon, you know? I mean, two times in the book of Acts, both times about Jesus didn't stay there. Paul never used the word. You hear Brother Camilleri? No, I'm not saying that. I'm going to use it. James talked about it being part of the tongue. Peter talked about the angels that sinned. Now, the Gospels and Revelation, there's a lot of hell. It's hot. But come on, the book of Acts? I mean, isn't that our message? Where are you going when you die? You're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. I'm going to spare you because I want to go to eat. You'll find the same thing in Acts chapter 3. You'll find the same thing in Acts chapter 4. You'll find the same thing in Acts chapter 5. We are witnesses of what? Stephen, a whole chapter. And he doesn't say, you guys are going to go to hell. Acts chapter 8, we'll grab that one. Acts chapter 8. Verse 20. But Peter said unto him, okay, here's your chance, Peter. Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God might be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. He shall save his people from their sins. You follow that Ethiopian eunuch, and he went under there and he preached unto him Jesus, who speaketh the prophet of himself or some other man. And he began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, and he says, what hinders me to be baptized? You got to believe. Okay, but where's heaven and hell? Acts chapter 9, verse 20. Straightway he preached, this is Paul, Christ in the synagogues, that if you don't get saved, you're going to burn, man. That he is the Son of God. Here's what I'm saying. When we look at how the Bible, and I hate to use this word, I hope it doesn't cheapen the gospel, how the Bible sells salvation, it doesn't look like the same way we sell it. And I'm not trying to hurt or upset. I'm trying to help us. I don't know how your evangelism's going. He calls the 12 apostles and he never says to one of them, hey, you guys know where you're going when you die? Come on. He says, follow me. 17 times in the Gospels, he says, follow me. He said, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was. Now we automatically say, well, that means you're going to hell. No, it doesn't. It means lost. Oh, lost people go to hell. Yes. Here's what he said in John. He said, if you follow me, you'll have the light of life. Can I add now? Yeah, yes, sir. You won't walk in darkness now. Amen. But you'll have the light of life now. Right. Now there's heaven later.
Right.
But that's never the first primary emphasis. the light of life to save you from spiritual darkness, thou that you are in, because your sin has separated between you, your iniquity has separated between you and your God, and your sin is at his face from you, that he will not hear. Now. I didn't realize, I was preaching through John a while ago, and this is my testimony. When I met Brother Jay in 1986, you wouldn't know by looking at me, but I was lost. Had all the answers. I wasn't the bum on the street, man. All my goals, married my high school sweetheart. We got a nice ranch in the suburbs, got a pool in the backyard, got a nice boat, got a summer seasonal trailer out there. He didn't really even talk about going to hell. He said, you need God, but your sin has separated you. That's why you got no peace. That's why you took this martial arts and you won these competitions and you did this and you got no peace. You know, I think I would have got saved if hell awaited at the end of the journey. I wanted something now. First John chapter 5. Scary, isn't it? Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life? Knowing God? 2 Corinthians 5. What a book. Its riches are unsearchable and its ways past finding out. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to go to heaven. Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us that same word of reconciliation. My story, it seems like the majority as you go through the Gospels in the early church, saved wasn't about saved from a place later. It was about saved from my sin now, so that I could get to a God, and I had to go through Jesus Christ. And that would give me an indwelling God that would give me light for life. I'm afraid we have it backwards. We make the place the primary goal, and we make the person the means to that goal. In effect, we've made heaven God.
Right.
You want to go to heaven, don't you? You don't want to go to that other place, do you? You know where you're going when you die? I don't want to go to hell. Okay, then I got this Jesus here. Okay, whatever it takes. Wow. You want to go to heaven? You got to believe in a person. Nobody wants to go there. So pray this little prayer on the back of this card. And we've made the place God and Jesus the means. We don't want to say Jesus too much. And you know what we got? We got a bunch of people running around that pray to prayer, listen, to get to a place, instead of being in love with a person that's in a place.
Amen.
Thus they have a guarantee of a place later without love for that person now. Oh, I'm saved. I prayed the prayer. I did that. Why'd you do that? Because that's what we pitched.
Right.
You know what your professor needs over at the State College here? He needs light for life right now. Your coworker, your parent. They don't need heaven now, maybe later for sure. They can't wait for heaven to get God. They got problems now.
Right.
They're going through divorces now. They got sick family now. They got wayward kids now. They got mental health issues now. They got financial and relationship issues. I mean, can you imagine some of you ladies, you work with a woman and she just found out her husband cheated on her. And her son's in jail and they're going to repossess the house, and you get an opportunity to talk, and you say, are you 100% sure if you died, you're going to heaven? She ain't thinking about heaven, man. She's thinking about what her hell is right here on earth. They need the light of life now. You need God, sister. You know why you need God? Because he said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things unto your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You need to get yoked up with God. You need some light for your darkness. And guess what? At the end of the journey, you'll be with him for all eternity. Oh, and it's a beautiful place. Different pitch, same results. Better results, I think. I'll give you a mission scenario, two mission scenarios. God has called us to Calcutta. Our hearts are broken for the 15 million people there, majority Hindus, going to hell without Jesus. Would you please partner with us? Different pitch. Our hearts are broken over the fact that 15 million people, majority Hindus, don't know God. And they're in darkness and they're lost. Would you partner with us to get them some comfort and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost that comes only with the kingdom of God and believing in Jesus? We're not pitching going to heaven. We're pitching reconciling to God. And heaven just happens to be part of that.
Right.
Here's the appeal tonight. Would you pray to get a vision for the lost? I mean, you got to be burdened for lost people.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, my problem is with sinners. A lot of times, I don't know how to get started. How about that? How about starting with God instead of heaven? You know what you need, ma'am? You need God. This life is merciless. You need wisdom from above, and Jesus is that wisdom, and he will comfort you, and you can't get to God until you come through his Son, repent of your sins, and trust him.
Right.
Oh, did I mention it at the end? He says you receive the end of your salvation, the salvation of your soul. Now, to prove to you that I'm not unbalanced, I'm going to give you a testimony now that you might think this is going to undo the whole thing you just said. I hope I got my dates right. June 28th. My dad's 89 years old. He's got macular degeneration. There's no more they can do for him. He's on his way out. He'd be dead in 48 hours. I witnessed him a year after I got saved, 37 years ago. Didn't go over too good. You don't tell an Italian father what he needs. Let's just put it that way. They say, well, how about when you get older? It gets worse. Right, Camuso? Right, you know. you got a saved one. You better thank God. So they were going to do hospice, and I get the bright idea, oh, I could handle this. Let's just leave him right here at the house. And about the first time I went to bring him to the bathroom, I said, Dad, okay, stand up. He's sitting there. He couldn't even lift his hand up. I said, this is the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. 2:19 a.m. That old veteran who He softened as the years went on, but I never had assurance of his salvation. 2:19 a.m., he says to me, Joe, he had his faculties and everything, can you lead me in a prayer? I mean, you might as well say, what must I do to be saved? I'm thinking, did he really ask me that? Now, here's what I didn't say. Well, Dad, you know what? You need light for life. So I'm gonna pray, lead you in a prayer that you would just have the comfort of the Holy Spirit and you would have wisdom in your decision-making. No. I led him in the sinner's prayer. I'm not opposed to the sinner's prayer. You know, he prayed that sinner's prayer so loud if the windows were open, the neighbors would have heard it. I'm just saying tonight, consider offering God instead of first offering heaven. Let's make God, God, heaven his home. He is the prize. Well, you meditate on this truth and like, ooh, don't say that too loud. I was talking to Jacob last night, you know, when we're doing this here, and he says, what do you want to do for the invitation? And I said, I'm not good at it. And he said, I'm not good at it either. And I thought to myself, I wonder if this is why. I've seen preachers, man, back in the 80s, they could lead a flea to Christ. I mean, if you got anything out of this message, raise your hand. Close your eyes, bow your head. I'm not going to come to worry. I'm not going to call. All I want to do is pray for you till you raise that hand. Now, if you so much as thought about raising your hand, come on down here. And listen. I'm not being mean because a lot of people got saved that way. Amen?
Yes.
A lot of people read a track, heaven or hell, which for you? I don't want to go to hell. And that began their relationship with God. But I got thinking, I wonder if that's not why I'm good at an invitation. Because, I don't want to say that. I'll step out of Tim's pulpit so I'm not standing in his pulpit when I say it. Maybe, do you know where you're going when you die? Is not a Bible invitation. I don't know. But anyways, we're going to stand. I'm going to pray, and we're not going to have an invitation. But I hope you got something tonight. Amen. Let's stand. All right, Father, we